across the community, the department, the church, that I don't miss someone. Yes, the department, I see Mr. Msiza, I assume that's then Mr. Makubela. Then I'm checking, going one, two, three. We are five. Okay. I assume and believe that yes, we are constituting a team that we can continue with the meeting. Sorry, Honorable Minister, I didn't see. I see the Honorable Minister now is in. Welcome to the meeting, Honorable Minister. And the DG, I saw that he is also in now. And everyone who is part of this meeting today. Without any further delays, can I check on the apologies?
Good morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, and our Honorable Guest Chair. I've received only one apology from Mr. Zungula. Thank you, Chair.
I thought your colleague also had...
Sorry, Chair, Ari also won't be able to join us today due to... He's going to the... Thank you.
Okay. Can we flag the agenda?
I see the hand of Ms. Matobe. I don't know whether it's for this or...
Honorable Matobe?
No, it's fine, Chair. I just pressed by mistake.
Okay. Noted.
Chair. Sure. Yes, Chair.
Honorable Langa?
Yes, questions, Chair. And can I please also register my apologies as I might have to leave the meeting before we finish today because I have doctor's appointment as well. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I always say we need to be clinical, but at the same time, we must be faster. For only one reason, nothing is guaranteed these days. One common apology for all of us, I thought maybe this needs to be done. Yesterday, I checked in my area. I realized that the load shedding I had was not the correct one. It went on its own at a different time. So this is one challenge that you might be having. But without any further delays, today we are dealing with the issue of the first and second quarter progress, and then we'll deal with the issue of the solar water heater what is it? It's so difficult. Solar water heater program, yes. And then we'll finalize our meeting. Honorable Minister, can I give it to you to introduce the presentation on behalf of the department? Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. the whip of the portfolio, members of the portfolio committee, Team GMR, we are presenting, Chairperson, the first and second quarter 2023 performance. That is the summary kind of. And the DG will take us through that. And I want to call on him to do the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Minister. Good morning to the Chairperson, to the Honorable Members, Honorable Minister, colleagues. As already indicated, we will be presenting on the first quarter performance.
Recording in progress.
We will be presenting on the first quarter performance. The presentation outline is as indicated. We will start with the summary of the quarter one and two performance. Move on to highlight some of the targets that were achieved. We will also take you through some of the targets that were not achieved and the interventions that we have put in place. There are detailed performance tables at the end of the presentation, which I will not go into the details about. As already indicated, the presentation is to provide a progress update on the implementation of the targets for the 2022-2023 financial year. Chairperson and members, for the first quarter, the department had 71 targets, we achieved 53 out of 71, which was 75%. With about 18, which is 25%, not achieved. And for second quarter, we had 75 targets, of which we achieved 44 of the targets, which is around 59%, with 31 of the targets not achieved, which is about 41%. Chairperson, before I go into the detailed presentation, let me indicate that as you can see, On a number of programs, the performance for the second quarter went down. And in the main, while the tables provide the detailed summary on the detailed information on the targets that were not achieved, one can summarize the reasons for these targets not being achieved as first, poor target setting. I think some of the targets, the way they were set, during the planning phase were a bit of a problem when implementation happened. Similarly, the other main reason, as I indicated, is poor planning in terms of targets not planned properly, and therefore during implementation, colleagues realized that they've either overcommitted on the target, or they did not take into account other considerations around those particular targets. And you will see again when you go into the details of the targets, you'll realize that one of the main issues for some of the targets is that they are dependent on external factors. And in the planning of these targets, these were not taken into account, and therefore caught colleagues were supposed to implement up at the point of implementation. And I have to say, this is something that even in the previous presentations that we did on the reporting of the performance, we had highlighted, and I think the AG as well raised it during the annual performance reporting. We are currently undertaking planning for the next financial year, and we are putting in place and have put in place processes to make sure that there is no repeat of these challenges. Next slide. If I go into the summary of the achievements for quarter one, I will not read through all of them, but just to highlight a few. With regard to policy and regulation, a number of bills and policies were progressed. We presented to Cabinet the Mine Health and Safety Bill for gazetting. We completed a consolidation of public comments with respect to the Waste Management Fund Bill. We also concluded public consultations and consolidation of public comments with regard to the Electricity Regulation Amendment Bill, as well as the electricity pricing policy. The team developed a concept report which was with respect to the gas amendment regulations. With regard to the gas master plan base case, a report was published for public comments and presented at NEDLAC. In terms of licensing applications, 46 rights were issued against a target of 30. With regard to job opportunities enabled through the issuing of mining licenses, 928 job opportunities were enabled. We also authorized and processed 26 applications for nuclear authorizations. With regard to compliance inspection, 10 nuclear safeguard compliance inspections were undertaken and reports produced, and 5 nuclear security compliance inspections were also undertaken and reports produced in this regard. 2,179 inspections and audits were conducted in this quarter against the target of 2,000. We also undertook 55 inspections on SLP projects against the target of 52 legal compliance inspections were conducted against the target of 37. 126 mining economics inspections were conducted. 392 petroleum retail site compliance inspections were conducted with 260 fuel samples tested during this particular quarter. With regard to empowerment, 98% of the invoices were paid within 30 days. 30 SLP development projects were completed in that quarter. We also produced reports on the activities that we have undertaken around the energy sector, women empowerment program and gender policies. We had also produced a report on the development of the mining sector youth strategy, as well as its associated implementation plan. On mine health and safety issues, during the quarter we reported there were reported 10 fatalities compared to 14, 463 injuries compared to 10 for the same period in the previous financial year. I think that that bullet there is not supposed to be there. It's actually not an achievement because the reported occupational diseases were actually higher compared to the previous case. It's there by mistake, and 112 accident initiated in investigations were completed during this quarter. On energy security, 4,658 additional households were electrified through the non-grid technology. 11,698 additional households were electrified through the grid. 0.0.0 2.19 terawatt hour savings were realized from the various programs that we run, which is the industry and buildings and residential sector, as well as from the programs that we run in terms of savings in municipal buildings and infrastructure. On mine rehab, a progress report was produced, which was basically reflecting the plan for the remainder of the quotas. On international relations and investment promotion, we participated at a number of conferences or investment sessions, which includes the Africa Energy Forum, the Mining Indaba, and the Prospectors and Developers Association of Canada. The department also produced reports on the multilateral strategic partnerships that we have. Just on quota two, once again, we follow the same process in terms of highlighting the achievements. On policy and regulation, some of the highlights is that the Mine Health and Safety Bill was tabled at NEDLAC for consideration. We undertook consultations with PetroSASEF and PASA on the draft National Petroleum Company Bill. A report on the economic viability of shale gas exploration was produced, and we undertook consultations with industry with regard to the beneficiation master plan. On licensing and applications, 77 additional rights were issued, 15 additional nuclear authorization were received and processed. The 972 applications were processed during this period. On compliance and inspections, we can report that during quarter two, no incident of corruption were reported to the department. 61 SLP inspections were conducted. 38 legal compliance inspections were conducted. 402 environmental inspections were conducted against the target of 319. 455 petroleum retail site compliance inspections were conducted against the target of 375. 287 fuel samples tested against the target of 270. And cumulative, which is just over additional over 2,000 mine inspections audits were conducted. The 4529 is inclusive of the first quarter targets, which was just around 2,100. On empowerment, 2,389 job opportunities were enabled through the issuing of the mining rights. 30 SLP development projects were completed. We also produced a strategy for youth in energy sector and associated implementation plan. On mine health and safety, there were 1,011 injuries compared to 1,144 in the same period in the previous financial year. And there were three appeals received in quarter two, and they were all dealt with within the prescribed time. For quarter two, we had one asbestos mine site that had been rehabilitated, with the second one sitting at 50% completion, and the third one at around 25% completion, which indicates that we will be able to meet the target of rehabilitating three asbestos mine sites per annum. On energy security, in addition to the numbers I had shared earlier, we electrified 10,314 additional households through the grid. This is during quarter two. We also, as part of the electrification master plans that we're developing in the six provinces, produced a baseline report or the status quo report. We issued during this quarter a request for proposal from renewable energy under Bid Window 6. The department also produced a report on the monitoring of the Quebec nuclear plant long-term operations. We approved two carbon offset projects, and we also realized some savings as part of the energy efficiency program that the department is implementing. Under internal certifications and investment promotion, additional reports were produced on our multilateral strategic partnerships. We also hosted the Limpopo Mining Investment Conference in collaboration with LIDET and LIDA, and this took place towards the end of September. And we also participated in the China Mining, which was held virtually during the month of September. Chairperson will now move to a summary of the targets that were not achieved. As I'd indicated, many of the targets that were not achieved, as the members go through the tables, will realize that it was mainly due to poor target setting and poor planning from the department point of view. And on some of them, it's also just poor coordination within the department. But these are the issues that we are attending to, and we are confident that we will correct these shortfall in within the next two coming quarters. Chair, with your permission, I'm not going to go through. I will then assume take this table on the targets not achieved as read, and I will then ask the to move to the next presentations, which then will go into the financial part of the presentation, which then I will hand over to the CFO.
Thank you. Good morning, Chairperson, honourable members, honourable minister, deputy minister, DG and colleagues. I'll present the financial performance for Q1 and Q2. The slide on the screen at the moment is the consolidated overview of the performance of the department. Column number one, at 10.4 billion rand, that's the revised budget for the department. The department started the year with 10.35 billion. It was adjusted upwards to include the approved rollover of 72.87 million. Bringing it now to a total of 10.4 billion. For the period under review, that is the 6 months ended September, column number two, we had available in the department 4.622 billion to spend. Column three is the actual expenditure, which is 4060 billion, which was spent, leaving us with a variance of 561.6 million unspent. And I will provide the reasons for that underspending. And the variance percentage is 12.2% of the budget of 4.6 billion for this period, that 6 months ended. Can I move to the next slide, please? On this slide, it's a graphic presentation of the budget that is in blue. That is for the 6 months that has just concluded. The actual expenditure is in orange. And then the gray is the variance, which is 12.2%, is the amount that was not spent for the two quarters consolidated. And I'm going to provide the main reasons for the variances. Can I move to the next slide, please? This, Chairperson and members, is a graphic presentation of the breakdown of the actual 4060 billion that we spent for the 6 months. For the 6 months that ended, the blue takes the largest portion, which was 3.2 3 billion rand. That was all transfers to our subsidy to the and subsidies to our entities and implementing agents, followed by CAPEX, which is, compensation of employees in yellow. And the third one in red is goods and services. CAPEX is a very small line above the compensation of employees of 1.85 million. I'll move to the next slide. The reasons for the variances, chairperson and members. Compensation of employees, total expenditure for the two quarters that ended. We had 517 million as a budget. We spent 492 million. Underspending was 25.5 million for compensation of employees. The main reason, chairperson and members, is the high number of vacancies that were funded. We do fill in the vacancies as quick as possible. However, as we fill the vacancies, we also have natural attrition. In the department, we've experienced a high turnover of staff. We have had a high number of internal promotions. As we promote officials, at the same time, it creates a vacancy simultaneously. So we are constantly in this position. But the department is making some headway, and there are some interventions currently underway to address the variance. Goods and services, also for the 6 months, 581 million was available to spend. The department spent 255 million, leaving an underspend of 325 million, which is about 56%. Chairperson, the main reason for the underspending is the delay in implementing of planned projects. And included in this amount of planned projects also includes projects that are being implemented by the entities on behalf of the department. And we still have our long outstanding dispute with the DPWI under the office accommodation, which also affected the spending in the department. And included in the underspending is ICT projects, and we've experienced significant delays in this area, but it is being attended to currently. Next slide, please. Under transfers, the net underspending is 204 million, and it is the largest underspend for program four. The largest underspend is there. And the underspending is made up of INAP municipal grants of 88.3 million. This is withholding of funds from non-compliant municipalities to the DORA conditions. Engagements with these municipalities has taken place and it is ongoing. This withholding of transfers has been placed by National Treasury on these municipalities. If for any reason these municipalities do not conform to those DORA conditions, the money will be reallocated to other performing municipalities. Energy efficiency and demand side management. 5 million was not released, and it was to about four municipalities. Yet again, this was the funds were withheld by the department because they were non-compliant to the DORA conditions. However, the transfers were subsequently corrected and transferred to the municipalities in October. INAP non-grid households, 116 million underspending. This was mainly due to service providers that were non-tax compliant, and work had to be reallocated to other service providers. And that process has subsequently been done. CETA, we had a small underspending there, and international membership fees, 4.5 million overspending, and that was due to some forex differences and the timing of the payment. Lastly, under households, there's 1.83 million overspending, and this is largely due to the staff turnover because we pay out leave gratuities from this account. Payments for capital assets, we have been underspending in this area. Chair and members, in terms of the bulk procurement we do in the department, many service providers have been experiencing difficulties in delivering the goods. And we had in many instances had to re-advertise or restart the procurement process. But I can confirm in Q3, the spending for capital goods has increased substantially. Next one. On this slide, Chairperson and members, it's showing you the graphic on a graph, the budget, the actual expenditure and variance per program. So it's all it's doing is showing you graphically, but I want to rather go into the next slide to explain the reasons per program. Can you move to the next slide, please? Okay. For the 6 months ended administration, in terms of the 561 million underspending, the administration, that's program one, contributed 114.6 million. Minerals and petroleum regulation at an overspending of 6.9 million. Mining, minerals and energy policy development at an underspending of 35.2 million. Mine health and safety inspectorate, 14.9 million underspent. Minerals and energy resources, programs and projects, 400 million underspent. Nuclear energy regulation and management, 3.8 million underspent. So I'll explain to you per program the reasons that contributed to the underspending. Under administration, which covers the ministry, the DG's office, finance and corporate services, the budget underspending in this branch was mostly from goods and services and compensation of employees. And under goods and services, it's driven by the ICT projects that were delayed. And the office accommodation, which was the outstanding claims from DPWI. We're hoping in Q3 we will have some improvement under the claims from DPWI and the dispute to have been resolved. And the positions under the administration program are currently being filled. Minerals and petroleum regulation, they had an overspending, mainly under compensation of employees. And this is due to the overtime that was unplanned. And there were changes in the establishment, that is their structure. There were some changes that was necessary. The initial startup structure was not fit for purpose. And there were some slight changes that had to be made to accommodate the operations of that branch. However, the overspending will be cleared. Mining, minerals and energy policy development, the underspending was mainly contributed by goods and services. This was due to earmarked funds for the shale gas project, which was delayed. However, in Q3, there has been progress. Mine health and safety inspectorate, the variance was on compensation of employees. That was the funded positions for not both. Programs and projects, Chairperson, I think I've covered the transfers, but under goods and services, there were some projects that are earmarked projects that have been delayed. The electrification master plan, it was delayed, but in Q3, that's October, it has subsequently shown some progress. Rehabilitation of mines, that's MINTEC and Council for Geoscience. Projects here are undertaken by the entities on behalf of the department. Here, Chairperson, the money used to be sitting under transfers. It's now had to be moved to goods and services, which has been done, but there had to be the change in processes had to be also adapted to ensure that we met all the conditions as per circular 18 off from National Treasury. But I can confirm substantial progress has been done and those contracts are in progress. Solar water heating program, there has been delays in the installation and the transportation of units to related sites. The IPP office, we had 114 million here. There is currently work being done between the IPP office and the department to ensure that the contractual arrangements is finalized as soon as possible. The non-grid monitoring and evaluation, the department as instructed this branch to move this project with speed. It is needed to ensure that the verification process of the installed units are verified timelessly to enable payment. So work is being done in this area. Energy efficiency and demand side management, that's monitoring and evaluation. The project has been delayed, but the branch has delayed initiating the procurement process. Engagements with that branch did take place, and we're hoping to see some progress in Q3. Nuclear energy regulation and management, the underspending is mainly from goods and services. And for two projects in particular, that's a gateway review for the establishment of the central interim storage facility. And that work, there is some progress happening there. Lastly, Chair, I have covered all these variances for transfers in under Program 4 in the main, so I won't discuss that again. And in terms of all our transfers to the public entities, we are on par in this area. With that, I thank you, Chair.
Honourable Minister, that's the presentation on the performance.
That is it, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Zibo.
Thank you, Honourable Minister, and your MRE team. Honourable members, any questions of clarity or comments? I see the hand of Honourable Lorima. Is there another hand? Going one. Honourable Matogwe, Honourable Malinga. Going one. Honourable Von Maran. Then Honourable Kula. One, two, three. It will be Honourable Lorima, Honourable Matoka, Honourable Malinga, Honourable Von Marans, Honourable Kula.
Thanks, Chair. Good morning. The first question relates to slide 7. I'd just like to be clear, is there still a separate target for rights issued to HDSA entities? Is there also a separate target for the total number of rights issued? So are there two targets there, or is there only one target? Can you just clear that up for me, please? Moving on to slide 9. 30 SLP development projects completed. Could we have this process explained? Who is consulted in these projects? What role does the department play in these SLP development projects? In slide 10, can we get some more detail on that progress report on rehabilitation and on derelict and ownerless mines? Can we see the report? There's also in slide 12 mention of a report on the economic viability of shale gas exploration. Is that report on shale gas available on the department's website? If not, can we see it, please? In slide 13, it reports no incidents of corruption reported during the period under review. That's quarter 2. A similar claim is not made in the compliance and inspection section in quarter 1. So in quarter 1, can we know how many incidents of corruption were reported? And then further on, I'm not sure which slide it is, but it's clear that no mining rights were issued in quarter 1 in 3 provinces. Could we have an explanation why? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I think my questions are around the overall budget spend, which is around 88%. versus the targets that have been met. The DG did give like some reasons in terms of why the targets were not met, and it was mainly around the issues of poor planning and poor implementation and all these things. But I'm interested in whether the perhaps 12% of the budget that has is attributed as an underspend, whether it would have been enough on its own to meet the targets, because the number of targets or the percentage of targets not met, or rather just the overall progress, is quite low versus the amount of budget, the percentage of budget that has been used. So I'm interested in that correlation perhaps between the percentage of the budget used versus the targets, outside the reasons that we've been given of why there's been no performance. And then the other question that I have, I think it's on mining health and safety inspections. And I think we have requested quite a number of times that as and when we are given in a number in terms of this is how many investigations that have been undertaken, that can we also just get a sort of like an undertaking in terms of what were the overall issues or challenges that were identified by the department and what were the interventions. Same applies to the injuries, that when you say that you have X amount of injuries, have those people been attended to or assisted in terms of getting what is due to them in terms of compensation. The issue of the department of the DPWI building debacle, and then also the issue of ICT challenges, it comes up quite a lot. So I'm interested in whether, when does the department project actually seeing those things through, so that in the next report, for instance, we're not actually still dealing with the conflict between them and the DPWI about a building, or rather even the ICT challenges, which were also flagged as very crucial and very important. And then I think also on the shale gas project, I'm interested in that the report says that there is a report on the shale gas project, and perhaps just the viability of that project. But we also see that there was a purchase or outstanding purchase of research material. So I'm interested in whether if they still projected or there's expected purchase of research material, whether the report is not complete as it is right now, whether we're going to get another report. And if it is complete, then why are we still buying research material? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Greetings to yourself, members of the portfolio committee, the minister and the department and our staff chair and everybody on call. Chairperson, let me welcome the presentation as presented by DG Mbele. Chairperson, there is one point that always worries me when they present the financials of the department in terms of underspending. Chairperson, it's very worrisome when the department underspends. The department underspends on goods and services. Because when you spend on goods and services, it improves the economy, it creates jobs. So I do not know, Chairperson, what leads to underspending in terms of goods and services, because when you buy people, when you procure some things, people get employed and all that stuff, Chairperson. So maybe if they could just rectify that one, Chairperson, I'll be the happiest. Chair, also on the issue of the RFP to procure additional capacity for independent power producers, I see, Chairperson, it's not achieved in quarter two, despite government's commitment to bring additional generation capacity online as quickly as possible to close the shortfall. However, Chairperson, the presentation also shows that the RFP will be released in the month of October 2022. We are in November, Chair. My question in terms of the RFP, what are some of the formidable hurdles causing the delay? And More importantly, Chair, how much is investment, how much will the investment be unlocked by the RFP? On the same note, Chairperson, RFP for procurement of 2,500 megawatts nuclear program, it's also not achieved in quarter two due to pending unconditional concurrence from NERSA on Section 34 determination. So, Chairperson, how long will it take DMRE to address the suspensive conditions for NERSA to grant unconditional occurrence, given that nuclear energy plays a key role in the country's energy transition? If maybe, Chairperson, I could be clarified on that one. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson, and greetings to yourself, the Minister, our colleagues on the platform, and the staff from DMRE. Chair, one or two of the issues that I was going to raise were already covered by Mema Dokwe, but I want to check in as far as the preferential procurement is consent to qualifying women, youth, persons with disabilities, and their entities from the allocated project budgets of this INEP and energy efficiency, derelict and ownerless mines programs. And it shows that there's not been achievements regarding this in the second quarter. And the reasons are mostly lack of engagement between the relevant internal stakeholders. Now that engagement is going to unfold for this relevant internal stakeholders, how will the amended preferential procurement regulations announced by the Minister of Finance affect this engagement? More importantly, Chair, can the DMRE outline what needs to be changed with regards to this preferential procurement system now that organs of the state are allowed to design this procurement system in line with their service delivery requirements? There's also the draft feasibility report for the multipurpose reactor as one of the non-achieved targets in quarter two. Since NERSA took the view that the project should take a different route and is pursuing an EPC approach, for the sake of clarity, why did NERSA take this different route to the MPR project, considering that a gateway review of the pre-feasibility report of the MPR project provided assurance that the business case was viable? Does the project progress to the development of feasibility study? I also see, Chair, that a report produced on the monitoring of Quebec nuclear power plant long-term operation is one of those targets that have been achieved in the second quarter. And what are the details of this report in light of the delays in replacing the 16 generators at Quebec nuclear power station that have caused most of our load shedding and also financial or budget overruns? The number of your social labor plans developed is also listed as an achieved on second quarter. But you remember that when the Auditor General was with us, they highlighted that we don't have, as a DMRE, measures for monitoring and enforcing implementation of the SLPs. In line with this achievement in the second quarter, what is the take from the department on its capacity and skills to relate to what the AG has announced on the SLPs? Thanks, Chairperson.
No, thanks, Chairperson. Greetings to you, Chair. Greetings to colleagues in the Portfolio Committee. Greetings to our National Chair, the Minister, who's coming back. And greetings to everybody on the platform. Chair, let me firstly welcome the presentation by the DMRE. My first question, Chair, is around the non-achievement. The draft Renewable Energy Sector Master Plan is one of the non-achieved targets in the second quarter. The cited reason for the delay is that a stress test had to be conducted before the completion of the draft master plan. But TIPS could not start consultation in August because many stakeholders were busy with bid submission. Thus, the stress test had to be postponed to October 2022. Now that we are in November, Chair, has TIPS completed the stress test? If yes, what are the relevant details of the report on the stress test? And how is the report going to help to improve the drafting of the Renewable Energy Sector Master Plan? Also, Chair, around my second question is around on the non-achievement is that financial support to small-scale miners, including small mine scalers, is one of the non-achieved targets in the second quarter, as the memorandum of agreement between the DMRE and IDC is yet to be finalized. Therefore, what are some of the prevailing issues that make it difficult for the memorandum of agreement between the DMRE and the IDC? And how will the DMRE resolve those issues given the lack of financial support and incentive to small-scale miners to participate in illegal mining activity? My last question, Chair, is on issues of consideration and also non-achievement, that the National Treasury has appointed KPMG to conduct forensic investigations related to fruitless and wasteful expenditure incurred by the DMRE as a result of delayed collection of manufactured solar water heaters. Ironically, Chair, the background to the presentation indicates that the delays in the implementation of the National Solar Heater Program were direct consequences of lack of appropriate institution and implementation arrangement at municipalities. Therefore, Chair, why is the National Treasury conducting a forensic investigation relating to fruitless and wasteful expenditure due to the delayed collection of solar water heaters? Whereas the reasons why the heaters were not collected on time is already known. So I want to understand that what new outcomes will the forensic investigation bring to the DMRE that is already not aware of? And what actions will be taken, if any, with regards to this forensic investigation? Because we can't just have forensic investigation and there are no actions that are taken. So I want to understand that what actions will be taken post the forensic investigations. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Gola. Usual, I resist. Honorable Mele.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, good morning to everybody. Let me start by saying this. I'm really concerned that in the presentation that we have received this morning, the department has seen fit to take us through what they did achieve, but not in any detail whatsoever through what they did not achieve. And that has resulted in the number of questions that have arisen from members across the board. I do think that as part of their reporting and part of what we do here as oversight, the department should explain why they have not achieved their targets in greater detail than just a line on a presentation. It's not acceptable, and I think that they need to be called to order in that regard. Chairperson, I'd like to address a number of concerns. The first one relates to the legislation the backlog in legislation that is being submitted to Parliament. The department has on its annual performance plan a number of pieces of legislation that are supposed to be coming to this committee for attention. And as we get closer and closer to the end of our term of office, we're about 2 years away, or year and a half away now, from the end of this term, it appears that we are not going to be able to get through the backlog of legislation. And the backlog lies in the hands of the department, who have not submitted it to Parliament for dealing with. So I think there needs to be an explanation as to what is going on, why is there this huge backlog, and what is being done about it. Chairperson, then I would like to turn my attention to the energy crisis that we have in South Africa, the electricity crisis we have in South Africa. One of the areas that has not been achieved is the number of Section 34 determinations for municipalities, and it says that municipalities have not applied. You will recall that on July 25th, when President Ramaphosa announced the National Electricity Crisis Committee, he said that municipalities will now be able to buy electricity directly from IPPs. He didn't say they would have to go through a process requiring concurrence from the minister or NERSA or anything like that. He said they will be able to buy. So my question is this, and it's directed to the minister. Are we going to see an amendment to the Electricity Regulation Act to take Section 34 concurrence out of the mix for municipalities? There's absolutely no reason why municipalities require concurrence from the minister to purchase or to generate their own electricity, and I'd really welcome a move in that regard. I also think it's necessary that we get a briefing from the IPP office as to exactly what the challenges are with regard to the various independent power producer programs, both the REIPP, the RMIPP, and the small generators IPP that I think sits in Eskom. But I'd really like to see a comprehensive briefing as to what challenges they face as the IPP office, what is causing the delays, and how we can speed up this process in order to bring more electricity onto the grid as quickly as possible. Chairperson, then with regard to electricity generation, one of the things that we've spoken about repeatedly is how outdated the IRP 2019 is and was even back in October 2019 when it was adopted, that it was using outdated information and data. So I'd really welcome an update as to exactly what is being done to refresh or revisit or publish a new integrated resource plan. While we're talking about plans, the minister undertook back in March this year to review the fuel pricing model. I don't see any progress in that regard, and I'd welcome an update on that as well. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, honorable members, honorable minister, and your team.
I will allow the team to answer the questions first. I will come late. DG, I would imagine that other DDGs whose areas are affected by questions will be allowed to respond to questions. DG.
Yes, thank you, Honorable Minister. Yes, the DDGs will respond to some of the questions. I think I will quickly dispense with one or two questions that were raised. The reports are available. We will make them, the requests around the reports, we can make them available to honorable members as has been requested. The question on the forensic investigation, what action will be taken? I think obviously the forensic investigation will make some recommendations around what needs to happen, and what we can assure this committee is that the department will definitely action the recommendation from the forensic investigation. I think at this point, I don't want to preempt what the final report will basically indicate as the causes of the challenges that we have with the solar water heater program. And the reason for an investigation is really to go to the root cause of the problem and not just to deal with the symptoms or the issues that we are seeing today. The issues around the RFP, in quarter two, there were two RFPs that we had intended to issue. It was the RFP for bid window 6, which we issued and within the correct timelines. The delayed RFP is for battery storage, And the reason there is that from the department point of view, we have gone through all the approval processes through the BAC, but we do need certain exemptions from National Treasury and the DTIC. And I think that's why in my opening remarks, I had indicated that in terms of the planning, some of the reasons why the targets were not met is that we had not, it has to do with our planning, but it also has to do with how we take into account or how we account for those processes that are outside of the department's control. So those are the main ones that I'll respond to. I will come back to the others once the colleagues have responded. I will now ask the DDGs in the following order to respond. DDG Mankobela, followed by DDG Mseza, and then the CFO, and then Mrs. Marawa, who is the acting DDG in programs and projects, and then Ms. Munale will come last to respond to issues around nuclear. With your permission, Chairperson, DDG Mankobela.
Oh, thank you, DG. Good morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, Honorable Minister, the staff of the committee, colleagues. The questions that were asked by Honorable Lorima on the HDSA target. So there is a specific focus to make sure that we monitor actively the achievement of transformation. So as we proceed with the work that we're doing, we felt it necessary that we should have a target that talks to historically disadvantaged South Africans. So they effectively, there isn't a particular target that focuses on all the, you know, the rights that are issued. Our aim is to issue as many rights as possible, but as we do that, we must focus on a historically disadvantaged South African. So that is why there is this particular target. And as we indicated, I think in our quest to deal with the backlog, we are finding that we are, you know, there is a balance between historically disadvantaged South Africans who come and execute and those ones who were not historically disadvantaged. So we are confident that we are making progress in ensuring that historically disadvantaged South Africans also benefit from economic opportunities in the mining sector. On the issue of the SLP involvement, so with the SLP, one, the mining companies, they then come and present projects to us in as far as what they would, you know, what they have discussed with the communities and also the municipality. And we, of course, have to evaluate that. We also have an understanding of what the communities require. So we actively participate in the development of those of the SLP projects in each of the municipalities. And we do consult with the municipalities to make sure that, you know, the SLP programs that are projects that are being proposed are aligned with the LED of the municipality as well. On the issue of the mining rights, in terms of the mining rights, we are also dependent on the applicants. So if the applicants, for example, in the Western Cape did not come and execute because perhaps they, you know, there are issues on their side, we basically don't necessarily force people to come and execute. And in that way, then their rights would not be issued. But also, it also depends on, you know, whether there is a, you know, they have raised the necessary financial provision. So if you have not, then there is no way that that right is going to be issued to that particular person. So that effectively were the issues in the three provinces that were identified. If I were to deal with the issue of the fuel pricing that was raised by Honorable Myler, in as far as that is concerned, there were adjustments that were already affected into the fuel price, as we, I think we've indicated before. However, one of the things that we've been doing is to basically gather as much information as possible from the people who are in the market. And what we can indicate is that if we had tampered with the pricing method during this time of the conflict, we would have probably now had higher fuel prices than we are currently experiencing, and this is a fact. It is costing the oil companies and all importers a lot more to import diesel into this country than what the VFP is allowing them to recover. And in fact, we are grappling with that. And that is because there is a conflict globally. And we believe that we need to be very cautious about tampering with the BSP in the middle of a conflict, because we're going to import that inflation into the pricing method. We are in the process of, we think now things are stabilizing, and we can now begin the process of revising that model. But the reality of the situation now is that the importers of fuel into the country, because of what is happening in the refining sector, are actually importing at a loss. And we think that let us be very cautious about tampering with the pricing formula at this point in time. Thank you. Thanks, DJ.
Who's that now? Hey, boy.
Person, I'm not sure from which side. I will ask. It was supposed to be Madam Caesar coming, but I'll ask the CFO to come in. Madam Caesar, are you ready? Okay.
Yes. Thank you, DG. And good morning, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, Honourable Minister, Honourable Deputy Minister, the colleagues. Good morning once again. I think that there was one question from Honourable Madogwe, and indeed, Honourable Madogwe will ensure that we include the major causes or contributors of accidents. But for the purpose of the meeting, the major causes are mainly the transport related accidents. The major causes are mainly the transport accidents, general accidents, and also fall of ground accidents. Those are the major causes of accidents, and we have been working with the sector to ensure that there's improvement on that. And this year to date, we've seen a significant improvement, mainly with the fall of ground related fatalities, which are currently at about 79%, compared to last year. Historically, the fall of ground accidents that would contribute was 30% of the overall fatality. So this year it has been the lowest on record that we have seen. Also, there's machinery-related accidents that contributes to fatalities and injuries. And this year we've seen an 83% improvement thereof. But what we'll do, we'll make sure that in the oncoming reports we include those causes. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you, DG, Honourable Chairperson. I'll respond to Honourable Madokwe. Indeed, Honourable Member, there are DPA challenges with DPWI and ICT. I think under ICT, the DDG Imshlonga did present to this committee about a week back, I think, under the ICT challenges and the current interventions. So there is substantial work being done in this area under ICT. DPWI, I have indicated that we're hoping to see some improvement here in Q3, and we will follow up on that matter. Honourable Malinga, under goods and services, yes, indeed, ma'am, it does affect the economic activity when the goods and services budget is not spent. But at the same time, there are projects that are delayed for some valid reasons at times, and the spending has to be quality spending. So we make sure that it's linked to indeed a target, or we could see the output. But I acknowledge the comment, and in Q3, where projects have been delayed, we have made and insisted on those branches moving those projects with speed. So you would see some impact of this in Q3. Honourable Volmerans, under the Preferential Procurement Act, yes, there was a moratorium on the procurement early in the year, and that did affect us in terms of our spending, in particular the financial year that ended 31 March 2022. Subsequent to that, that moratorium has been lifted and we are back to normal. So spending has started to normalize, but we have experienced some delays because of that hold. Thank you, DG.
Thank you, DG. Honorable Minister, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. I'm going to address the question of small-scale mining, why there is a delay in the signing of the Memorandum of Agreement. We are signing the Memorandum of Agreement with IDC. One of the important challenges is the demarcation of responsibilities between IDC and the DMRE. The National Treasury now requires that when you issue out money, you must have a mechanism of following up and ensuring that money is used for the intended purposes. So we are cleaning out a particular areas of responsibilities which would enable the department and IDC to follow the money. I can commit that the agreement should be finalized before the end calendar year, and we should be able to initiate the implementation and ensure that the small-scale miners receive the funding that has been set aside for their use. Thank you.
Ms. Monale, on issues around nuclear.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Honourable Minister. Thank you for the questions. I'll start with the L201. In terms of the LTO, the long-term operation of Quebec Nuclear Power Station, the department has established a technical oversight committee to exercise oversight on the project. This was to ensure that the project meets its target. To ensure that before 2024, our Quebec Nuclear Power Station operation has been prolonged. And then ESCOM indicated to us as the nuclear branch that everything was in order and that they were going to reach the target as indicated. However, they did submit a safety assessment report to the regulator. And then from the regulator, then there was an indication that there might be possible delays, which might result in the matter in Quebec not meeting its target. And then this matter has since received attention from the department, and it has been escalated to Energy Crisis Committee to address this matter. And then the department is working together with the NNR and ESCOM to ensure that the LTO reaches the target that has been established. Thank you. And then I will go to the second one, which is regarding the suspensive condition of NERSA. And then it has been approximately, there was an indication that it is anticipated that the address will take around 3 months for it to be approved. And then the one that regarding NERSA is that the MPR project is following the National Treasury Framework Infrastructure Procurement Delivery. And initially, the Ministerial Committee on MPR had advised on the project to follow the EPCM contracting module. And this, however, was changed by NERSA, indicating to follow the EPC contracting owing to possible delays with the lessons learned from the other mega projects such as Midupi and Kusile. Thank you, Chairperson.
Chairperson, those are the responses. Maybe let me touch on those that had not been, before I hand back to the minister, those that had not been responded to. On maybe first on the one around dealing with the suspensive conditions from NERSA. I can also indicate that the draft response has been drafted. It is still going consultations to make sure that before we submit to NERSA, we have addressed all the issues sufficiently. So the work is progressing well, and we are hoping to submit to NERSA, hopefully even before the end of this year, which is before the December holidays. With regard to the question around corruption reported in quarter one, I can confirm that there was none reported in quarter one. The issue around ICT has been responded to. There was a question from Honorable Bula around the renewable energy master plan, which is a more of an industrialization or localization master plan. I can confirm that the work by TIPS has been done. What is still outstanding is that there are various committees that involve multiple stakeholders that oversee this work. This work is now being presented at those committees. There is actually one of the last meetings scheduled for, I think, around the 24th, if not the 25th of September of this month of November to process this work. There was a question from Honorable Milam around legislation and the backlog. Why backlog and what are we doing about it? I think in the presentation, when I didn't go into the various reasons, I summed up the challenges with our targets into three issues. And I indicated that one of them has to do with how we set our targets and the planning around those targets. The reason there is a backlog when the details on the non-achievements are looked at, members will realize that if most of them are stuck between consultations. And we believe that with proper planning and target setting, we should be able to resolve these issues going forward. So that's the main reason some of these have been delayed. And I would also want to indicate it's also because when it comes to policy setting and legislation, there are always different views in terms of how we should be dealing with the issues. And sometimes consultations take longer than anticipated, especially when you go to bigger forums like NECLEC, where you've got all the social partners around the table and you have to get to some sort of agreement around what the legislation or policy shape it should take. Honourable Minister, I think we've covered all the questions. Unless we've missed some, we can be clarified on those, and then we can try and respond. Back to you, Minister.
TJ, I think we should deal with two questions. The first one is, who is consulted in SLP projects? What is the role of the department? Is the report on the shale case available? Can you respond to those only?
Yes, Minister, the reports are available, and we will make them available to the members. Makobela, if you can assist with the one on the SLP.
Okay. No, thank you very much, TJ. Thank you, Honorable Minister. So the role of the department on SLP projects, it's basically one to evaluate and approve the projects that have been identified to be done by the various companies, and to make sure that there is sufficient consultation with the affected communities, but also then the municipality. So ours is to evaluate, you know, once those projects have been submitted to us, we do the evaluation and say that and based on the consultations with the communities and the municipalities, these projects actually are going to benefit the communities. Then after that, it's basically to then go and inspect on projects once that has then been approved by the department. We monitor then the progress on the SLP projects themselves. One of the things that we've been encouraging mining companies to do, and this was as per, you know, a directive and advice from the minister, is to say, for example, for major infrastructure projects, the mining companies should come together and maybe, put their efforts together to make sure that they deal, for example, with water infrastructure needs of communities, which cannot be done by one particular a mining company. So that is then the role that we play as a department. Thank you. Thank you, Dick.
Thank you, Dr. Makobel. Minister, back to you.
Okay, DJ. Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, a simple Honorable Orema. SLPs are an outcome of consulting communities where they will be affected. That's why SLPs must work harmoniously with the IDPs of the various municipalities. The report on the shale gas, I agree that they will have to be boosted, but the fear we're having is that you give sensitive information to internal structures, and you find that information used by lobbies against the department. That's the only question I want to flag. Honorable Madokwe is raising one thing that says this underspending on budget is a function of poor planning and poor implementation. You see, that is an assumption, Honorable Madokwe. Maybe, DG, when we have the planning sessions of the department, we should invite people like Honorable Madoko to be part of it, just sit in, see how thorough we go, how hectic that session is, what do we set up to achieve. And if we don't achieve it, that's the nature of planning, if you understand planning, that you set targets, you may achieve targets, you may underachieve that. That is the nature of planning. If when you underachieve, it becomes a punishable offense, and when you overachieve, it becomes a punishable offense, then that means there's no need for planning. Therefore, I want to appeal that when we plan, we set targets, we'll achieve others, we'll overachieve others, we'll underachieve others. That is the nature of planning, because planning is not an exact science. It's projection of what you want to do into the future. Let me leave that. There's a question on RFPs. When are we going to complete the suspensive conditions on nuclear? The branch is working on that. We're hoping to complete them within a reasonable period so that we can issue the RFP for nuclear. That's what we're working on, because we wish to have that RFP out as soon as the better. And that goes with the delays in Quebec. Eskom has just written an article on newspapers on the threat of delays on Quebec. We have written to them to ask for a detailed response and explanation on that matter. On small-scale mining, I want to make one point on support and incentive for small-scale mining. I agree with what the DDG said, except that support and incentive should be a function of small-scale farmers themselves taking the initiative of starting a business. And therefore, when they start a business, they ask for financial support. That is what we should be looking at. Somebody asked a question. What is new that will the forensic audit tell us? If we knew what the forensic audit would tell us, we wouldn't institute a forensic audit. When the forensic audit has completed its work, which is a more detailed investigation, give us the results, we'll work on those results. But we can't stand here now and say, this will be the outcome of the forensic audit, and therefore this is what we're going to do. We can't do that. Otherwise, we're putting the cart before the horse. Honorable Malam raised this thing all the time, that we always explain what we have achieved, but we don't explain what we have not achieved. And actually, that is half factual. It's not full factual. Because when we say the target was X and we've achieved Y, that in itself says this is what we've achieved. But what is not achieved is in the difference between the target and what has been achieved. And therefore, that gap explains what has not been achieved. And then it is up to the questioning to say, in this area, you have underachieved by this percentage. What were the reasons? Then we can explain those. Honorable Malam is begging for removal of certain debt altogether in the space of municipality. Yesterday, we had a meeting with business, and I was saying to them, and I want to give you the same answer, Honorable Miller. I said to them, you said we must deregulate embedded by generation from 1 to 10. We agreed. You came back with agents and said it should go to 50 megawatts. We said, okay, 50, we'll give you 100. Okay, then you came back and said, no, it should be 1,000. You said, no, 1,000, remove the cap. We are removing the cap now. Now, but what I put there as an issue is the pressure on the department to deregulate, but we don't see reciprocal flowing in of investment in that area after we have deregulated it. And that is the issue for me. And therefore, with municipalities, there was pressure. I'm sure Honorable Milam was one of those who put a lot of pressure all the time. Allow municipalities to procure electricity from IPPs. We agreed. We changed the regulations. We open up for them. Now, Honorable Milam, because there's no municipality who has applied, Cape Town is starting to, we are waiting for it. Stellenbosch is starting to, beyond that, nothing. But he says, no. They're not applying because we said there must be financial sustainability to apply. Now he comes back and say, no. Remove the requirement for Section 34 altogether for municipality to apply. Basically, we want to transform the electricity sector into a sector of electricity dispenser shops. I think that is dangerous in the long term. We can try it, it will kill us. The last point I want to talk to. How I did is IRP 2019. We are implementing IRP 2019. We're implementing aggressively. That's why that IRP 2019 has actually generated, has actually authorized more megawatts than the period 2011 to 2019. It's because we are aggressively implementing it. We are revising it. We're not revising it for renewables. We are revising it to look into various aspects, including the combination of technology that must give us not only clean energy, but also fight energy poverty. And that's the issue. And that's all, Honorable Chairperson, that I can add to the digital issue.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Minister and the team. The only thing is that we are not farming, we are mining. I heard that we are talking about small-scale farmers. We are mining, not...
I know you are a farmer in another specialized.
Okay. Honorable members, I take note of the answers that have been requested and received and the commitments that has been made by the department to provide same. As per the request, can we now go to the issue of the solar water heater program?
There's a hand of Mr. Mylan on
that. Honorable Mylan.
Chairperson, could I just get a quick follow-up?
Okay, let me hear it.
Chairperson, two issues. First of all, the minister kind of glosses over the not achieved portion of the presentation. It's not about the gap between what was achieved and what was not achieved. There are targets there that have not been achieved and have not been explained. And that is what I'm trying to hold the department and what the members of this committee are trying to hold the department accountable for. And I think it's completely out of line for the minister to say that it's a gap between what's been achieved and he's only talking about what's been achieved because of the gap between what's been achieved and what's not. It's not about that. It's about the targets specifically that have not been achieved. Secondly, Chairperson, with regard to the IRP 2019, first of all, I never mentioned renewables at all in any of my questions. I didn't raise that issue at all. But with regard to IRP 2019, the minister has raised the issue, I raised the issue that the IRP was outdated. And the minister says they are aggressively pursuing it. I'm not disputing they're aggressively pursuing IRP 2019. What I'm saying is that it is based on outdated assumptions. For example, it's based on an energy availability factor from Eskom's fleet of 75%, and yet Eskom's fleet is running at 58% and dropping daily. Now to say that, oh, we must pursue IRP 2019 based on those assumptions is ludicrous. You've got to update your assumptions. You've got to update your information. You've got to change what you are doing to reflect what the reality is on the ground. You can't keep working on something that was out of date the day you published it. So I find it utterly amazing that the minister can continue to punt IRP 2019 when the whole of South Africa knows that it is a document that isn't worth the paper it's written on. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, before I go to the minister, maybe let me do that. I will make a ruling on some of the issues.
Before you make a ruling, Chairperson.
I'm coming to you, Honourable.
Because once you make a ruling, we can't make an input.
No, you don't get me. I'm saying, let me go then give the minister and the team, and then I will make a ruling after the response given. Can I give it to you, Honourable? Okay, is there any other member before I go back to that? Just if there is, okay. Well, there is none. Can I give it to you, Honourable Minister and the team?
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I think in some of these issues, I must appeal to you to protect us, okay? Because we came to this portfolio committee and said, we are reviewing IRP 2019. We have come here and said we're doing that. And when we said we must make projects, we said we think that about March 2023 will be almost at the tail end of revising. So we're reviewing it. Now, for Honourable Malam to project us as being indifferent is actually unfair on our part, because we're reviewing it. We're not reviewing it because the whole of South Africa that is in its face. We're doing it because various stakeholders in the space have asked for it to be reviewed. Therefore, we are reviewing it. And therefore, any attack on that area is an unfair attack that has nothing to do with the reality of what is happening. So the energy availability factor of Eskom is not a wrong assumption. Eskom is 45,000 megawatts connected. It only gives us 26,000 megawatts. And therefore, if there was a lot of investment and effort on getting energy from those units that are connected but give us no energy, 75% energy availability would be a reality. So this is not a question of a wrong assumption. It's a question of substandard performance of Eskom in terms of ensuring that we get energy from units that are connected. And that is the issue that I thought we should respond to. The question of underperformance, I don't know what the fight is really, Honorable Miller. If we say we had a target of 75 and we have achieved 68. We have achieved 68. We have not achieved 8, which is between 75 and 68. We have not achieved that. Now, I don't know where the difference is. What is underperformance? Underperformance is what you have not achieved. And therefore, the presentation did explain a number of those things. We've underspent on this area because of X, Y, and Z. We've underachieved on this because of X, Y, and Z. Not unless Honorable Miriam can give us a template of what he wants us to fill in when we come to the portfolio committee. But when we say this is the target, this is what we've achieved. What we have not achieved is the gap between what we have achieved and what is the target. And that's it. I'm not closing over. That is how it is. So I don't know what the real fight is. Thank you, Chairperson.
Chair, I can tell Minister Mantashe what the real fact is. He hasn't told us why they haven't achieved those targets.
Honourable Mylem, you see my difficulty, and you know, it's either I then keep quiet and allow members and the department to have a conversation without the chair.
This is not me.
No, wait, honourable members, please. I've always said respect the fact that there's someone who is given a responsibility to chair the meeting. And every person speaks through the chairperson. Once you allow a impromptu response, it's going to lead to an exchange of words and it's going to degenerate the meeting. You didn't do that. I always say we are adult enough. I've never seen a minor who comes to Parliament. So can we respect the privilege we are given and respect the procedures that we ourselves agreed on, all the rules of engagement as members of Parliament, please. Now, can I address the first issue to say that clearly the department, from the point of view of what the minister says, they say, with regard to their understanding, is that they have presented on the targets that they have put in place. My understanding is that the targets will emanate from the annual targets and our annual performance plan, and therefore the performance is measured quarterly according to what in terms of the annual performance plan says and the targets, which will mean for each quarter must reflect to us. At this stage, we are taking two quarters. Each quarter must reflect to us whether with the pace in which the department is going, it will meet those targets or not. And if according to the assessment or the analysis, for an example, there could be concerns, and which for me I was looking at and say, how do we deal with that? That with the amount of what has been utilized so far, if it's a correct word, vis-a-vis what has been achieved and not achieved, there could be a potential that there will be more that has not been achieved, not only on the basis that it could not be achieved, but on the basis that in terms of the resource allocation, it could not meet those areas. I wanted them to suggest that maybe we go back and say, because for every session where we sit, we look at it and see, in fact, it is not just enough. And I thought that's what Honourable said. I don't think it's a fight. It requires a fight. There is a view that says, can we then get clarity on when that function has not been performed, or has not been met? Is it, because I think the teacher said this, in which I must say it was a bit concerned for me, where it's not been achieved, that target. At some point, the teacher said, because of, I'm not sure if I'm using the correct word, poor planning or whatever, but something that we have to do. If we then want to say, please unpack that in terms of the planning, when we're doing the planning, we thought that could be done because of our own, but due to certain circumstances, if it's human failure, it be clear that the calculation by those who were setting up those targets was not necessarily a well done performance. If it is about, again, the resource allocation, it be on the basis that if we say that for every area where there's been no achievement, there must be clarity. I think it's something that from where we are sitting, we must then be able to say, please, we need now to get an explanation. That's the first thing for me. The second thing, I think I don't think we should avoid a discussion. I would prefer the issue about energy availability and the energy supply sustainability, in my view, must be within the context of what is presented. But I'm not sure whether we might have to seek a platform for it for another day, for something else. But my concern is when that matter is not related to what probably the report is all about. The report, to the best of my understanding, is about the meeting the targets, and it reflects on the performance of the department, whether according to what it would have presented, and probably to some degree through the annual performance plan and targets, we would have even asked from a committee point of view and agreed to. So can we then go to the issue of the solar water geysers and say, we will deal with most of those issues when ourselves as a committee, if we need to do an assessment, again, it is allowed when we deal with matters arising. Can we put those two items as one of the issues that from a committee point of view, must then say, we are of the view that as part of oversight work of the committee, we need to put this particular aspect so that they can help us as tools of analyzing the effectiveness of our oversight work. I think for me, this is what I would suggest. If Honorable, can we move on that note and then allow us to go to the issue of the solar water heater program? Can I give it to you, Honorable Minister, again on the issue of the solar water heater program?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. OTM is here, I can see that now. But now. We are moving to the National Solar Water Heating Program. I will give it to the DG to allocate whoever presents that one to continue with the presentation. Thank you, DG.
Thank you, Honorable Minister and Chairperson and members and the PM. Minister, I will be taking the members. I will be taking the members through the.
Honorable Minister.
Thank you.
Okay.
Person, yes, I was indicating that I will be doing the presentation. I will take the, as this is an update, I will take the members through the background and summary, which is meant to just recap or provide some reminder on some of the historic issues on the program, and then take you through the progress, some of the challenges that the program is facing, and then what are we doing about those, and then the conclusions. Can go to the next slide. Next one. Chairperson and members, as you all know, the department procured just over 87,000 solar water heater units from 12 local suppliers. These units were meant to be installed in various municipalities, but there was a delay in the implementation of the installation phase of the program, and that delay then subsequently led to fruitless and wasteful expenditure in the form of storage to the tune of about 324 million rands. And basically, hence that we indicate under bullet two that the program experienced delays at the early stages. What then the department undertook to do in consultation with National Treasury was to then make sure that we move to stop or avoid fruitless and wasteful expenditure, and that we intended to do in two parts. First, to make sure that we move the units out of the various storage facilities that were rented by the service providers, and second part to quickly move and install this unit at units at the various municipalities. We have to date moved about 72,000 of the 87,000 units to various municipalities and our SOE storage facilities that they have. When we moved these units, the first approach that we took at the time was to look at storage in government facilities. And the reason we moved them from suppliers into storage is because we wanted to stop the storage cost with immediate effect. It would have been impossible at that point in time to try and move them to installation, because what needed to happen at municipal level is that the contracts had not been signed with the various municipalities that were interested in participating in the program. Out of the 87,000 units, about 14,000 of those units are still withheld by suppliers. So the main units that are with suppliers are as a result of the most number of units that are with suppliers are as a result of a dispute between the department and these various suppliers, because we had a cut-off date in terms of the payments that the department was going to pay in terms of storage, and some of the suppliers wanted obviously to be paid beyond that phase. And some of them we had attempted, even had trucks that went, tried to pick up these units, and they were not even given access. I will explain, there is a legal process that we are undertaking in line with the provisions in the contract. And I can also immediately report that we have been successful in one or two of those where these service providers have actually now agreed to release the units. notwithstanding all these things that I've mentioned in terms of the challenges in terms of moving the solar water program, from an installation point of view, I think the last time we reported to the committee, we were reporting installation of about, I think if it's not 11,000, 13,000 units. We can now report that we have about 21,000 of the 87,000 units installed. Next slide. And most of the units that have been installed under what we call phase one of the projects. Phase two has commenced. We have appointed additional service providers. We appointed two additional service providers last year, and we are running a process of appointing additional service providers. The reason we only appointed two last year was because of the those were the only two out of the bids that were supplied that actually made the cut. And we have since gone out with another request for proposal for additional service providers, and we are in the process of evaluating those bids, and we should be making an announcement. So this will then give us more service providers to deploy to the various participating municipalities. We initially had 19 municipalities that had indicated interest in the program. We have allocated units to these municipalities. Out of that 19, four have since withdrawn from the program for various reasons. Next slide. I had already indicated that part of what we intended to do in the program was to stop the bleed in terms of storage costs. And I think just to give context, we think we have moved from an era where we spend about just around 100 million per annum on storage, which resulted in the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, to now just under 10 million. And the reason why we still continue to have this additional cost is because we, in the initial stage of moving the units, we moved them to our own entity storage, but then the entities had an issue with the AG, who actually raised the issue of the fact that the department cannot store these units in their storage for free. But as things stand, we expect to have moved all the units to the installation sites within the next 2 to 3 months. I think earlier in the other presentation, we did talk to the issue of the fact that in terms of what really transpired and what has led us to this point, there is a forensic investigation that's been undertaken by KPMG, appointed by National Treasury in consultation with the department. We are, I understand the report is at advanced stage. The investigations are now at a point where it's almost concluded, and they were just closing the loop in terms of communicating whatever their findings or asking those who are mentioned or implicated in the report to give their final input. So we were expecting, we were promised the report at the end of October. We are now pushing National Treasury and expect to have this report hopefully by the end of this month latest. And obviously based on the recommendations from the report, then the department will then make decisions as to what needs to happen next. Next slide. Yes. Next slide. Okay. I think here it's just the information that I had indicated in terms of the storage and where the units are sitting, and the number of units that we have installed to date. Next slide. In terms of the, I had mentioned that we are still having a challenge with suppliers that are still keeping the units, and as I'd also indicated that we have been successful on one of the cases where the supplier of the units was not successful, and they have been ordered to release the units, and they've since released the units, and we've already collected them from the service provider. The other cases with four other service providers are still ongoing, and we will at the next update provide the details around those. Right. In terms of installation, I had indicated we had installed around 21,000 units at various municipalities. We initially had two phases in terms of installation, and so out of phase one we have installed 21,000 out of the 38,000 that we had intended to install, and phase two we have planned to install around 42,000 units. I think I should also indicate at this point that under phase two, we are in discussions with one of the metro municipalities that have come to us and indicated that they need solar water heaters. I think they asked for about 25,000 units. The discussions are at advanced stage. So there is likelihood that the number for phase two under the implementation of the department will reduce because they have indicated they have teams ready on their side to assist with the installation of the units, but the discussions are ongoing with that municipality. This table just indicates the progress in terms of the various municipalities where the units have been installed and the contracted capacity that we had allocated to these municipalities. The obviously the installations are without a are not without a challenge, and here we list some of the challenges with the installations. For example, some of the part of the contract is that the manufacturers are expected to provide a product specific training to installation companies prior to installation. And due to those disputes that we mentioned, these service providers are actually refusing to provide training for some of the service providers. I think we've been fortunate in one or two instances where the appointed installer actually used to work with some of these service providers. They've installed the units before, and we are able to work around some of these issues. We've had delays with the procurement of what we call consumables. I think the last time we presented to members, we did indicate that the design of the units were based on the current building standards. So all the piping, the length of the pipes and all that assumed a standard building with current building standards. So meaning that they were sized for a standard building, but most of the houses that we go and install these units, as you know, this is a social program, would be older or not built to the current building standards. So what we had to do is to procure additional material to allow, which is basically additional piping, to allow for us to be able to connect to those particular houses and a plumbing arrangement, which is not in line with the current arrangements. Other issues that we've had is the manufacturers refusing to supply missing components or faulty components. We've had instances where when we go and do the installation, we find that there are parts that are missing for some of the units, and would go back to the service providers, and they would actually give us a hard time in terms of allowing us to get these parts from them. But what we've also experienced is that some of the supplied parts, like valves, they would sometimes, after installation, fail, and then we'll get into a protracted process with the service provider. In the beginning, they generally cooperate and promise to solve the problem, and they will try different ways than technicians, and then, you know, this process will drag for a month or two or 3 months, and eventually when they realize they can't solve the problem and they have to replace the part completely, then they take a different turn. What we've done with all these issues, we have taken them to our legal team for them to put them as part of the challenges. But what we've also done is we've written to all the service providers and indicated, giving them through the legal people, we've given them at the time, we gave them an ultimatum that if they do not resolve the process, we'll proceed to install the units and incur the cost. And out of some of the training and warranty money that we are still withholding, we will actually use that money to fix the problem. And we've done that in most of the cases. Because if we don't do that, the units then keep on staying in storage, and the risk of theft and other issues keeps increasing. There are other challenges which are on the ground where I guess these are common challenges that you face when you're implementing projects on the ground, is that there are sometimes delays in terms of beneficiary lists changing or beneficiary lists not coming on time. Sometimes one of the biggest issues that we find is that it's as a result of the original list of beneficiaries. When the team gets there, they find that the roof is not suitable to carry a solar water heater, especially an asbestos roof. And then would have to go back, obviously, engage the municipality to get a new list. I think the one point that I should indicate here at municipal level is that we do have, together with municipalities, we do appoint a social facilitation person who actually helps to coordinate the project on the ground and make sure that there is a smooth running of the program. We do work around the issues of those that demand the 30%, but I think as it is generally a problem with many construction projects is that when you think you've reached an agreement and you're working with this team, you always find a situation where a different team emerges and they demand to be part of the project because they believe the other ones are not legitimate. But the process that we generally follow is that the municipalities are the ones that will run a process of identifying the local participants, and then we'll put them into the project. I think I've already spoken to the issue around the service providers that are not cooperating because they still want to be paid more money. Next slide. Apologies, Chairperson. I had to switch gadgets. My gadget has died. In terms of phase two of the project, a total of 42,000 systems are planned to be installed. But as I indicated, this number is likely to go down as we are in discussion with one municipality that's actually asking for more units, and they have a program in place and a plan in place for installing these units at some of the housing developments that they are currently running. The program is advanced under phase two, as I indicated. We will be finalizing the appointment of service providers before the end of this month, and we expect them to be on the ground early in January. So we anticipate that we should be at a point where we have completed the installation of those units that are functional by the end of September. But we also have initiated a process at looking at, for example, the units that are sitting in Cape Town that we got from a company that has been liquidated with missing components. We are working on a disposal plan in terms of disposing those units, but disposing them in a manner that they will still be useful in other projects. Next slide. I think this slide just summarizes the current allocations under phase two of the program. Next slide. I think I've touched on the fact that obviously the more these units are staying in storage while there is at times a security, we still experience theft of components from these units. And in some instances, in some of these bridges, it is almost impossible to understand how the theft happened because there is no breakage. And the security, I know in one instance, in one municipality, actually, the case has been opened against the security company because they had someone on the ground to look after the storage. All these incidents have been reported to law enforcement, and they are currently being investigated. Chairperson, in conclusion, we one can highlight that from where we started with fruitless and we still full expenditure of around 300 million, which was around 100 million per annum, we have made significant progress in stopping or in reducing
the bleed there by moving the units to the various storage facilities. With regard to installation, we are slowly making progress in terms of installing the unit. And as I indicated, we are hoping for significant progress in the next few months, especially with other municipality that we are currently engaging, which is looking at taking up a large number of these units and installing them. We therefore would like the committee to know the progress that has been made and the challenges that the program has been experiencing, and assure the committee that from the department point of view, we are doing our utmost best to make sure that these units get to the roofs, which is where they belong, and they don't sit in various storage places. Thank you, Chairperson. Back to you. I don't see the minister. DM.
Why don't you see the minister? Why don't you see the minister?
Oh, minister is here. Okay, minister.
Why
back to you.
Why don't you see the minister? Okay. And the reason I'm handing it back to you. That's the presentation.
Oh, you can't see you, minister, because you are dealing virtually. Okay, honorable members, here is the presentation on the solar water heater program. Enekhande, Memalinga, Mama Togwe, Minyar Mailam, okay, I guess it's those three. Let me give you Honorable Malinga.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Chairperson. And let me welcome the President.
Aren't you logging in with two gadgets?
No. I am in a open space chair. That is why you hear the echo.
Okay.
Close the doors now.
We'll bear with you.
Apologies for that, Chairperson. Thank you, Chair. Let me welcome the presentation by Ntate Mbele. And Chairperson, I want to register that, Honorable Minister, this is a project that is giving us a headache after the criminality of illegal mining. This one is the one, and the non-issuing of licensing. This one is the one that is mooring us the most. Chair, in the presentation, they report that four municipalities exited on the 19 municipalities that were identified to benefit from this project. I did not get the reasons from the DG that what were the reasons for those municipalities to exit the program. And with those municipalities that have exited the program, how does this affect the objective of the program, especially the need to minimize the existing burden on the grid using cost-effective ways to generate hot water for households? My second one, Chair, will be on the issue of training of installer assistants that has been put on hold due to financial challenges. DMRE is confident that phase two of the installation of this solar water heaters will be completed in 2023. Will not the financial challenges in terms of training the installers hamper their thinking in terms of the timeline that they've put in 2023. or does the DMRE have the capacity and requisite skills to enforce the installation in phase two by itself, given that those are left in solar assistance to carry out the installation of solar water heaters across the targeted municipalities? Do we have people in DMRE who can take over the job which was supposed to be done by training installer by installer assistance chair? Chairperson, we also hear that some of the, from the presentation, that some of the solar water heaters have been vandalized and other heaters, solar heaters missed, copper pipes and some copper pipes were stolen. Chairperson, the interesting part is that the incident relating to the vandalism of heaters and theft of copper pipes had been reported to the police, but the investigation is still pending. Why is the investigation still pending if SAPS or the investigating officers have given the department the reasons of why are they stalling on this investigation? Chair, in light of that, what measures has the DMRE put in place to ensure that pending investigation do not have any adverse effects on the installation in phase two across the affected municipalities, similarly who bear the same cost of enhanced security measures to minimize the vandalism of heaters, solar heaters and theft of copper pipes? If maybe, Chairperson, I could be clarified on those ones, because I saw somewhere in the presentation that the department has requested the municipality and SAPS to be on guard in terms of security of the dispersed solar water heaters to the municipalities. If maybe they should be vandalized, or is there a plan in place on how the department will move forward with phase two? Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Greetings to everyone in the meeting today. Chair, I think I'll first start with just the overall presentation, specifically on the challenges around the solar water project. In that, I think we had an oversight around, I think it was January last year. And in that report that we got then, there were six major challenges that were faced by the department in relation to this project. And almost 2 years later, we're getting the exact same challenges plus two more. It's like the report of then was just copied and pasted and brought to us literally word for word. And then the only thing that was added was the issue of four municipalities that have left and also the six suppliers that are giving us problems. And one would have expected that at least from that time up until now, what we are supposed to be getting from the department is that these are the challenges that we presented to you then. These are the recommendations that you made as the portfolio committee then. This is the progress that we at least have made on these challenges that were represented then. And these are the challenges that we're having. It can't be that you are piling up more problems on top of problems. Surely there should be improvement and there should be progress there. And that's why I'm saying that I feel like it's a copy and paste and there's not much that has been done. And perhaps I would want the department to explain why is it that challenges that were presented to us almost 2 years ago are still the same challenges plus more at this point in time, considering how crucial and frustrating this problem of solar water geysers is, to a point that it is one aspect that has actually even created unnecessary problems in terms of budget for the department. Secondly, it seems that to a certain extent, we held a ransom by suppliers. And I don't understand why. We're told no, suppliers don't want to deliver, suppliers don't want to train people, suppliers are withholding units. And that doesn't make sense, because my understanding is that there's a contract, number one, where suppliers have been paid to provide a service and the department is supposed to be getting a specific service. And if they're not getting that service, then surely it can't be that the department is going to come and lament about these things. what is being done. And surely some of these things, like you said, they were presented to us way back then, and up until now, you're still lamenting about the same thing. When the contract signed, what were the terms of agreement? And in the event that suppliers are not coming to the fore, then what has been done by the department up until now? The third question that I had, I know that one of the things that were quite alarming then in terms of how the solar water project was hit up project was started, was that it was done outside COCTA, even though the main beneficiaries would be local government municipalities, and some of the information would be needed from local government municipalities, as is the case right now, that some of the challenges are that municipalities are unable to give information, municipalities are withdrawing, the municipalities that want to be part of the project. So I'm interested, but what then is the role of COCTA at this particular moment? Are they part of the Solar Water Heater Committee? What is their role in terms of managing the working relationship between the DMRE and their local municipalities to ensure that where we're able to actually execute the program outside the issues of suppliers and all these things, those programs are formally executed. The other question that I have, it is on the KPMG investigations, because I remember even when we were doing BRRR, there was this impression that was made that the main challenge that is there, or the main stepping stone or hurdle that is there, that the department is waiting for the outcomes of the investigation. Number one, the outcomes are long overdue. Secondly, even the department says, look, we're promised that by end of October, we're going to get the report, and we have not. So why have you not gotten the report? What are the challenges around that? And secondly, what about the other issues? I understand that you're waiting for KPMG and their outcomes, but all these other challenges that have nothing to do with KPMG, how is it that the department has not been able to handle that? And I think the last one, usually when this discussion is held, you'll be told that some of the people who were involved in this project are no longer in the employ of the department. Notwithstanding that there's an investigation underway and they're waiting for that report. But I'm interested in whether the department really has any way to actually hold any of the people that were part of this project accountable for their decisions, whether or not they're in the employ of the department. Because the reality is that at that particular time, they were given a responsibility. They took up actions that have cost and are still costing the department. And surely someone must be held accountable. So outside the investigations of KPMG, what is being done and what has been done by the department to hold those individuals accountable? Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, thank you very much. I guess I just have two questions in this regard. The first one is quite simple and straightforward, and it's simply this. How can we believe you? How can we believe that you, the department, are going to deliver this time when we've been hearing these self-same promises since 2019? Chair, you will recall the BRRR and annual performance plan meetings that we had in the Taj Hotel in Cape Town, where this was raised as an issue. And we spent a lot of time going through it there. We then did oversight on it, where we were promised that it would be sorted out that year. And so on and so forth. And it's been going on for years and years and years. And my question is quite simply, how can we believe that this time it's going to get done? That's the first question. The second question that I have is this. Given the amount of time and the costs that have escalated and the storage costs and the training costs and this cost and that cost and the next cost, I'd like to know what the average cost per geyser is now. In other words, what was it when it started? And when the project started, and what is the average cost per geyser now? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Members. Can I give into the department to give responses? Then I want to make a proposal later. Mamalinga.
Kolo Tlalo.
Hi, Mulinga.
Before
Minister Apendula. What? Mama Minister, this is my meeting. Yes, what is it, Honorable Malinga?
Chairperson, can I go on?
Yes,
Chairperson, I just want the department to explain the logic behind the appointment of the National Treasury of KPMG to investigate or to have a forensic investigation relating to this fruitless and wasteful expenditure where on the delay for collection of manufactured solar water heaters. Chairperson, maybe if they can clarify us why is the National Treasury instituting a forensic, because the department is clear on what has happened. Is that not another wasteful and fruitless expenditure? Thank you very much, Chair.
Okay, today, I don't know what's wrong with you, Honorable Malinga. You have made two unparliamentary language statements. Words, but let me leave it all for now. But I don't think some of those words, I can't repeat one of those. The first one that deals with MO, I hope it's Ojalo, MO. And now this one, some people may deliver it in another way.
I draw both of them, Chairperson, apologies.
Okay. Honorable Minister and your team.
Did you take your first card on the answers?
Okay, thank you, Minister. Thank you, Honorable Minister. I will respond to a number of questions and then I will give to my colleague, Ms. Marawa, to go into the details and on some of the questions that have been raised. Honorable Chairperson, let me start with the question around believing what we're promising. How can the honorable members believe what we are saying since the same was said in 2019. I think, Chairperson, one will respond to this by saying, I think when one looks at the baseline, where we were at in 2019 when we made the promise, and where we are now, I think I indicated that we've managed to move the units and cap potential 100 million rand per annum. Wasteful and fruitless expenditure in terms of the program. And when we were sitting in 2019, there was not even a single unit, if I'm not mistaken, that was installed. So I believe the progress that is made is an indication that we should be taken on the way that we are saying, or the promise that we are making. I think the reality is, and I'll come to the issues around the challenges, the reality is that there are inherent risks and there are challenges that are part of the program. And we try and work around those to make sure that we move with speed. We would have liked to be even further than where we are in terms of the installation and the units that are sitting in storage. With regard to why National Treasury instituting the forensic investigation, not the department. I think where it started was that in the beginning, when the forensic investigation was spoken about, there was a view that there was a cabinet decision at the time that had actually directed that this must be done by National Treasury. Subsequent checks indicated that they could not find such a final decision. But I think at the time the then DG decided to give it to National Treasury. I think where I'm sitting, it does not make much of a difference, because it is a matter of whether the department is the one that appointed the service provider or National Treasury, because the actual investigation is done by an external service provider, which is KPMG. In terms of the point made by Honorable Madoka around the fact that the challenges we are raising, I think maybe the word we should have used is risk, because every project has got inherent risks. And you would have mitigating measures in place, and at times the risk would realize. And that's what we're finding out with the program, is that I think the risk of projects being disrupted in any space because of locals demanding is an inherent risk in many projects. And as I indicated, how we try and deal with these risks is that for each municipality, we work very closely with the municipality, and we have a social facilitation person appointed who actually help us to deal with the issues on the ground. While these are challenges that we're flagging, in many of the instances, we've been able to work around them, and hence the progress we have indicated here today. There was a question around the average cost. I think the cost per unit, we can estimate it at about 10,000 rand per unit, the original cost. If you include installation, which is sitting at around 2,000 rand, it's about 12,000. And if you then take the storage cost and you divide them amongst the number of units, it comes to about 4,500. So this takes the total cost per unit to around 16,500. If I do a quick calculation on the work my level. So that's the indicative cost. There was a question from Honorable Malinga about I think it was Honorable Madoka around the investigation outcomes are long overdue. As we had indicated, we are also putting pressure on National Treasury, because from our side as well, we would want this part of the program closed in terms of having a better understanding what went wrong. We have views, but our views may not necessarily be factual, and hence at this point in time, no one, I think it was one of them that raised the question around holding people responsible, no one has obviously been held responsible. Whether the department has the will to hold those who were responsible accountable, I think from where we're sitting, and I think from where I'm sitting as the accounting officer, I have no choice. This is public money, and public money is managed through PFMA, and it's a requirement that action will have to be taken, appropriate action will have to be taken. Both follow-up will have to be done against those that the report comes back pointing a finger at, or corrective action will have to be put in place if it's a process-related issue that we need to deal with. I will hand over to my colleague, Ms. Maraba, to respond to some of the detailed questions, and I'll come back if any of the questions have been left out, Minister. Through you, Minister, Ms. Maraba.
Thank you, DG. Thank you, DG. Honorable Minister, Deputy Minister, Chairperson, and Honorable Members. I will respond to the questions that have been outstanding. The first question was on why the four municipalities have been taken out. I will start with Ekurhuleni. Ekurhuleni was not in a position to allow the technical feasibility assessments to be conducted. We appointed a service provider, and on several occasions, the municipality could not agree on which
towards where the installation will take place so that it guides the technical feasibility studies. Number two, Ekurhuleni was also unable to allow the social facilitation to take place due to the same reasons, failure to agree on which wards to be included in the project. Then lastly, one of the conditions in the national framework agreement signed between the municipalities and the department was that each municipality would have to provide storage facilities for their allocated solar water heaters. Again, Ekurhuleni failed to provide the storage facilities. The same reasons apply to the city of Cape Town. We couldn't do the technical feasibility study, and we could also not they could also not provide the storage facilities. The same reasons applies to Swartland municipality, with the exception that Swartland enabled the technical feasibility studies to be conducted. The one municipality, Lambe municipality, we were able to conduct the technical feasibility study, but upon receiving the results of the technical feasibility study, we did confirm that the water quality and the water pressure and the security of supply of water was such that it was not possible to behave the program. So a municipality resolution was then taken to withdraw from the program. Then the second question I would like to address is the issue of training being put on hold. Unfortunately, the training, as you can see, the program has got many partners in terms of its implementation. The Department of Employment and Labor is one of those partners which wanted to support the training of technical assistants who would be coming from each of the wards that will be participating in the program, and the main reason for in the program. Unfortunately, due to COVID, the Department of Employment and Labor could no longer support the program financially. And from our department, we had not budgeted for training. So we have now put the training element on hold unless the municipality is able to assist with funding. So then there was a question that with no installer assistance, will it be possible for the department to proceed with the program? Yes, the installer assistance were going to assist and support, but the main reason for having installer assistance was to make sure that when the project is finished, there is someone who has got an understanding of the solar water geyser. So those people, installers who are going to be appointed to do the installation, will use some of those installer assistants that have already been trained theoretically and are going through practical. We are still doing that. And those that have been trained and completed practical training, they can still be used. But installers appointed are obliged to have their own resources that would enable them to complete the installation as per service level agreement. Then in terms of systems that are being stolen from storage facilities, one of the conditions for the storage facility to be approved as an approved storage facility to put the government assets was that the municipalities need to have 24-hour security. They also need to have an alarm system. And most of these systems have been stolen from facilities that have those requirements. So we have then requested them municipalities to also put an additional cameras so that at least you may be able to see. But for some of the municipalities, we even had cameras as well. Then in the issue of the arbitration processes. I understand the legal issues have been put across, but on average, one of the completed arbitration process took almost 18 months to complete. So it's some of the challenges that we have, that arbitration process is taking long. Then in terms of, I think I've covered all the outstanding questions. Thank you. In terms of the cases, all the cases that have taken place have been reported to SAPS, and investigations are taking place. The municipalities have committed to update us whenever there is a progress. On one municipality, the SAPS has already apprehended the person that was responsible for breaking into the storage facility, but the case is pending a court process. Thank you.
Honorable Minister, back to you.
Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Zippo, Honorable members of the Portfolio Committee, those are the answers that have been given. But let me just deal with you. Same challenges as 2 years ago. Half the truth element of it. But the reality of that, 2 years ago, there was not a single solar geyser on rooftops. Today, that's over 21,000 of them are on rooftops. So talks to the issue of why same challenges. I'm still looking for the recommendation from the Portfolio Committee. But today, I'm not picking up any recommendations. I pick up a number of questions which we must deal with, but I'm very much starved of recommendations. The question of held ransom by suppliers, what does the contract say? That's why those who have not given us our solar cases, their court cases. The KPMG investigators, the cabinet took a decision that KPMG should investigate this area, not the department. And I agree with that principle, because one of the key principles that applies here is no transaction should be handled by the same entity from the beginning to the end. And that's why it's not a question of whether the bank can or not, but the cabinet took it in that National Treasury do appoint an investigator, and they appointed KPMG. And I'm sure, Honorable Malam, the fact that from zero to 21,000, there's work being done, that is what you should believe. If you think that is not good enough, tell us. And that's it. And I think we're trying to deal with a very complex project. I can tell the Portfolio Committee that this project, almost everybody was in this project, there's no more in the department, right from the DG of the time to actual project managers, they have left the department because this is one of the worst structured projects. But what is important about leadership is that it is a continuous exercise. You don't throw your hands in the air and say, you know, it's not mine, it's for my predecessor. It is my problem. It is a complex project. We're working on it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Minister. I'm not sure whether is there any in a minute or even less wants to take a follow up. Going one, going two, three. Okay, before I go to give the minister, I think what honorable members are saying, minister, we will check. From the time we started with this discussion, with this matter, since 2019, if I'm not mistaken, there has been recommendations or proposals, but even recently in the PRRRs, there have been those recommendations that were made. Whether, I think it's a matter for the committee, whether in terms of the report that is given today, does it talk to those issues? And I think for me, in the main, it's a matter for the portfolio committee to say, since then, what progress has been made? Or whether the committee would like to look at what will be the outcome of that exercise. One of the things that emerged in the AG's report, which could have made the department probably to have received the unqualified audit without findings, was the this recurring matter of the solar water geysers, which I think as a committee we have raised that at some point, even the AGSA must be able to find a way that this issue must be addressed. So it's a matter that I'm saying it will require that us from a committee point of view to begin to look at this. Amongst other issues, for an example, which I think that's the context also members were saying that in the instance of municipalities, there would be a need for a buy-in and therefore interactions might be considered by the department to engage the institutions like SALGA and the department of which is of COCTA to see how this program can be rolled out going forward. I think the issue of the investigation by KPMG will also provide and give clarity on the course of action, in particular, like you presented, Minister, those who may not have been there, whether the severity of their actions or non-actions will even require sanctions or action, even when they are outside the department. I think it becomes more of a pointer on what then could be done, because that is also a better domain from a treasury point of view. So, but without any further ado, I think this matter we will then have to deal with it, honorable members, from our side, and look at it. And if it requires that we do a final report, that will be submitted as usual to the National Assembly, then so be it. We will do so. Before I go towards closure, can I then give the minister the last so that they can be released if they so wish to be relieved or released? Honorable Minister, your last words.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you very much for the engagement. We take this engagement quite seriously. In some instances, we're hoping that some of the questions can be turned around and be statements that give us guidance. But we'll be patient to get that. I want the committee to appreciate, Honorable Chairperson, that this project is an obstacle between us getting a clean audit and getting an unqualified audit. If we can resolve this project, I'm sure we'll walk into a clean audit. So we're taking it serious. We want it resolved. It will help us and the image of the department. So it's not a question of a reckless department that doesn't care for this issue. It's quite a bad project, but we must sort it out. That's why managers must use their skill and ability to sort it out. We thank you very much for the engagement. Thank you, bye-bye.
Thank you. Secretary?
Yes, sir.
Can we deal with the next item?
Minutes, sir.
Very quickly. Yes. Okay, number two. Can we go to number three? Can we go to number four? Number five or four? Yes. Five. Okay, honorable members, is there any move of the minutes?
Chair, I move for the adoption of the minutes.
Any seconder? I guess so, la. Any second, huh? Let me sit and wait.
Oh, I cannot second myself, Neshe.
Not at all.
Chairperson, I second.
Okay. Thank you very much, Honorable Mashaule. Only matters arising. Can I request that all the information requested on successful and non-successful applications, can the committee just help us with the deadline, because it just said to date from March 2021 to date, but it did not say by when. Will we agree that by the end of the month, this month? Will that be a short notice? If we leave it like that, it means we'll just send and say to date.
Accept what you're saying, Chair.
Okay. Thank you very much. Can we go to the next set of minutes?
That is the last set, Chair. It's only those minutes of last week.
Oh, for Friday.
We had only one meeting, yes.
Does it not have something says that now I've got that short meeting of that Friday. Okay, on that note, there any correspondence? No, ne?
No, Chair, it's not scheduled for this meeting.
Okay. On that note, honorable members, the meeting stands adjourned until Friday when we deal with the oral submissions. Thank you very much. The meeting stands adjourned.